Looking at Travis, it looked like he was shuffling music. So. Well, I tell you, you guys look great today. Now, I'm not fishing for a cup. I'm trying to tell you, you look good today. And you guys sound great today. Let's give the Lord a hand today. And hey, let's give yourselves a hand today. Yeah? Now, if I was really self-centered, I'd say give me a hand, but we won't do that. It's great to see you guys this morning. And worship team, awesome, and I appreciate you guys. Well, it's fall, and here we are. And if you're new with us today, let me say welcome. We are honored that you've chosen to be with us today. There's a lot of really great options for church here in Greenville and in the area, and that you've chosen to be with us, we're honored. And we hope that you have a wonderful time here, and we hope that perhaps you'll come back and join us again real soon. In the pew there in front of you, you'll see a small white card. If you would, if you just fill that out to the length that you feel comfortable, you can drop that in the offering plate as it comes by a little later. That'll help me get to know you a little bit better. I'd appreciate that. Also, if you're on Facebook, let's go ahead and get them out. Open it up. If you're on Facebook, let's do it quickly now. Let's do it quickly. More quickly than that. I look around and I know you're on Facebook because you're my friend. Let's go ahead and open up that Facebook. Let's check in today. And my suggested hashtag is Prayer Matters. And I had someone ask me the other day, Jimmy, why do you do this? Why do you sell Facebook? I'm not selling Facebook. They don't need my help. But what this does is this tells everyone in your Facebook family that church is important enough that on a beautiful Sunday morning, the second Sunday of November, you got up, you got out, and you're here. And what that does is there may come a day when that friend would like to visit church, and they may just come visit with you, because if it's worth it to you, it just might be worth it to them. So thank you guys for doing that. All right, a couple of announcements. This week we are ready to receive our Christmas child boxes. Now, our deadline's Wednesday, okay? Now, if Wednesday just is drop dead not doable for you, we'll be happy to receive them next Sunday. Also, we need you guys to go ahead and be sure and go to the website, get the barcode, and get all the information. And we've received some boxes back, and it doesn't tell us whether it's for a boy or a girl. Now, you'd say, Jimmy, surely you're pretty receptive that way. But if you guys could just be thorough in that, it'll help this side. And Cheryl, where are you at? Right there? Cheryl, may I ask you to be right here at the end of service? Cheryl will be here. If you have any questions about your box, Cheryl has all the answers, don't you? Every last one of them, even the ones they make up. Right on. That's why I like confidence. And then also on the 20th is our family Thanksgiving dinner. And Miss Cindy, where's Miss Cindy? There you go. Miss Cindy's heading up our meal portion. And then Jared is handling the cup version.
Still on Facebook, okay?
Huh? Oh, okay. Hey, don't write a diatribe, dude. Just, right? And then Jacob's going to handle the traditional football side. But we want you to be here the afternoon of the 20th. We're going to have a great time. Just, we'll play some sports. You don't have to play sports, but if you want to, you can. And then dinner will be at 5:30. There's sign-up sheets on campus. There's one right here in the foyer. There's one right there at the Commons Building. You can respond to the Facebook group message there to begin filling in those slots. Just please remember this. I do like chocolate pie. And in a pinch, I'll settle for pumpkin pie. Whipped cream is optional, kind of. So, but it's a great time. It'll be just a wonderful occasion to come together. We're hoping the weather is just a little cooler on the side and dry this year. Was it last year? It was so muddy? It was just like, ugh, it was a sloppy track out in the field. But anyway, we want you to be here, so please mark that time in your calendar. Plan to be here, sign up, bring something delicious, and join us for that great day. Well, today is part two of our series on prayer. And let me just go ahead and say this up front. There will be a part three. There's already one more question that I just can't leave this without addressing. So there's at least a part three coming, so you know that. So, last week we clarified what is prayer. And here's the simple definition. Christian prayer, in its full New Testament meaning, is prayer addressed to God as the Father, in the name of Christ as the mediator, and through the enabling grace of the indwelling Spirit, God the Spirit. That's a formal working definition. And then let's recap very quickly last week. We talked about that all prayer must be offered in faith. And if you're not here on Wednesday nights, I'm going to say this because I believe it's true. You miss out. At 6:45, 6:50 on Wednesday night, we come back together for focus. And we had a great discussion Wednesday night about this question. Is all prayer offered in faith? We had a really good discussion. And the answer is yes. The question is faith in what? Or are we offering the prayer up? If you've ever whispered a prayer, you've expressed faith. But the important thing is who is the faith in, right? Express faith in a treadmill, but if I never get on the treadmill, you know what it does for me? It holds my laundry. Amen. Thank you very much. So we talked about that, and we also talked about the wicked pray if. The unbeliever, I even went so far as to say this, a backslidden believer or a carnal Christian, whichever of those offends you less, will pray, and their prayer is always this: God, I will do this if you do. God, I will love you if you do. God, I will believe in you if you do. Now, listen, I understand how that works, but that is not the prayer of the saved, and that is not the prayer that will bring fruit into your life. That is conditional love, and my friends, love in Corinthians says has to be unconditional, right? It's not love if it has strings attached to it. Moms, if you love those kiddos and you say, hey, I love you, so long as you do this, this, and this, I don't even want to talk about the lady and her son in the Obama vote. Trump vote. Anybody here see that video? Okay. I mean, that's terrible. But anyway, the unbeliever or the carnal Christian, or can I just say this? I'm going to say this. The believer that has been jumped on by the gorilla of life and feels overwhelmed sometimes can pray like this. Now, if you pray like this in a situation, there's grace in that. What I'm talking about is a consistency. If your prayer life is constantly, God, I will if, my friends, your prayer life's out of whack and you need to get it adjusted. The child of God will pray because, God, I pray to you because of what? What you've done for me. God, I love you. Why? Because of what you've done for me. God, I trust you. Why? Because you've proven yourself trustworthy. I do it because of what God has already done. Do you know why we should pray to the loving God? Because this, Jesus, for while we were yet sinners, while we were yet enemies of God, Christ died for us. That in and of itself is worthy to be prayer powerful and persistent in. So as believers, we pray because. Because why? Now, we could take time, and I bet I could get probably 70 different answers if I just ask you, why do you pray? You know, I pray because. And then lastly, God wants to talk to us, or to us to talk to Him and Him to talk to us, about everything. You remember last week we talked about the importance of writing that email? Just that time during your day, whenever it works inside your schedule, but a commitment to that time where you write God that email. It's more than a passing thought. It's more than a quick whispered prayer. Just a moment of your time and of your day where you focus your mind's attention, your heart's affection on the Lord. Can I just ask this? Did anyone do better this week than you did the week before? Okay. Thank you very much, Edgy. You read my mind. It's a very weird novel. I'm telling you. It has 3 chapters. Anyway. But I'm going to challenge you to do that again. If you only spoke to your spouse as much as you pray to the Lord, how well would your marriage be? If you only spoke to your children as often as you speak to God, how well would your relationship to your children be? If you only got on Facebook as often as you prayed to the Lord, how many of your heads would explode? You know how I know? Let me tell you how weird it is. Is guess who left their phone on their bathroom cabinet this morning? I was halfway to campus, and I realized I didn't have it. You know what I first did? I pulled over and let my heart slow down. And I had to make a decision. Do I go back and get it, or can I just trust God that I can survive 5 hours? Yeah. How many of you say I left it? Okay. How many of you say I went back and got it? I left it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I'm not going to tell you, there's been several times this morning, all right, you're like, what? And you don't have it. Listen, it's not easy being, you know, but, nope. Well, now I am this silly. I thought, well, I'm going to call Sharon and have her bring it to me. And then to make matters worse, I was like, okay, so now what's her number? But God wants us to talk. And then throughout the day, we have that instant communication with God. That's that 1 Thessalonians, praying without ceasing. Just those quick hitters, that thought as it comes to your mind. Every day when I'm in my office and I'm sitting there and I see emergency personnel go this way towards the church, out that way, I just stop and say a word of prayer. I don't know where they're going. I don't know why they're going, but I know they're going. And I say, Lord, just bless them. Bless the first responders that they're safe. Bless whoever they're going to try and help, that they'll be okay. You know what? And it's a good thing, just those little things. All right, there we go. So this week's question is this. Is it acceptable to repeatedly pray for the same thing? Can I just ask this? Anybody have here kids that just wart you to death? Mm-hmm. Where your no really means if I just stay after you long enough. All right, now parents, let me just give you a little scripture. Scripture says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. When you say no, just mean no. But think about it before you say it. Now, this has been one of the questions that I've discussed many, many times over the years. And so we're going to unpack this a little bit, all right? Now, let's take a quick poll, all right? Now, obviously, polling doesn't really do that good, right? But we're not going to go there this morning. No, no. How many of you say, and God still loves you, it's all good, right? How many of you say, you really shouldn't kind of repeat, you know, anybody? No one's going to you're all Trump voters. You're not even going to raise your hand. All right, I'm not going to ask the next one because that's the easy one. So anyway, so the question is should we or is it acceptable that we would repeatedly pray for something? So let's begin to unpack. We're going to look at two parables today. And a parable, here's a short definition of a parable. A parable is a short story that teaches a moral or a spiritual lesson. Especially taught by Jesus, recorded in the Bible. Quick question, are there non-biblical parables? No, yes. Anna's looking to the ceiling for the answer over here. Maybe it's up there. Okay. Wow, yes. And see you, okay, all right. I'm going to give you help here. Yes. And for example, the boy who cried wolf. That's not in the Bible, right? I mean, if you wanted to tack it down, he was lying, so lying is addressed in the Bible. But it reminds me of a fellow one time, I just absolutely crushed him. He was a senior adult. Just crushed him. Unintentionally, I crushed him. When I told him that the story of the little drummer boy is not in the Bible. You think I'm making that up? He was mad as a hornet. And I was like, it's a great story, but we're family because you married in, right? All right, let's go ahead. Let's real quick. Luke chapter 18 gives us our first one. Now, when he was telling them a parable to show them that at all times they ought to pray and to not lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God, did not respect men. That's very important. This judge was just hard-hearted and lost. He didn't fear God and he didn't fear men. He didn't have respect for them. It's very important that we understand that. There was a widow in a city and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. There was some sort of persecution or transgression. And so this widow, now what's really important here too is in this cultural context, widows were almost defenseless. They didn't have men to protect them sadly, sometimes they were taken advantage of. And so here, the person the scripture says we should care for and protect is crying out to the judge, protect me. All right, a little context there. For a while, he was unwilling, but afterwards he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man. Now, what's interesting here is he declared of himself what scripture already said of him. Sometimes our persistent prayer helps to reveal things in other people's lives. He said this, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection otherwise by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night, and he will, and will he delay
long over it?
Here we see a situation where a lady continually interceded. I'm trying to think of a word. I don't want to use bugged. Continually requested for help, and the judge gave in. Because of her persistence, the judge relented. Jesus' point is this, that if an unjust judge will grant petition for someone who perseveres, how much more will God, who loves us, intercede for us? This man was unrighteous, unholy, uncaring, and quite honestly, just kind of an all-around bad dude. And finally he says, okay, enough. If I don't give in, this gal's going to wear me out. If an unjust, unholy, and unkind man will respond to the needs of someone, how much more will a loving God respond to the needs of his children? You see, the parable does not teach us that if we pray for something over and over, God is obliged to give us. Listen, you can't wear God down. All right? Listen, I know that's hard, but you can't wear God down. God's not going to finally say, okay, Jimmy, enough, here you go. God doesn't wear down. So that's one of the greatest misconceptions, I believe, in prayer, is you're not going to wear God down by consistently praying. And just because we consistently ask for something doesn't necessarily, and we're going to talk about more of that in a minute, God promises to avenge his own, to do them justice and deliver them from their adversaries. Can I tell you one adversary I can't wait for God to deliver me from? His name's the devil. He is my greatest adversary because he whispers in my heart and he whispers in my ear. And I'm going to tell you what, he is just having a heyday in our world. But God says he will deliver us from the unjust of the world. If you are wrestling and you're wondering, why does the unrighteous seem to prosper while the righteous suffer? My friends, don't worry. God will bring justice to our world. And his justice is better than our justice, because sometimes my justice would just be wearing you out with a stick. God's justice is always better than our justice. He does this because his justice, his holiness, and his hatred for sin, in answering prayer, he keeps his promise and displays his power. Have you ever had justice come to you? Oh, it's a sweet thing, isn't it? Let's look at the second one very quickly. Luke 11, Dr. Luke tells us this. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and his name might be Jared. And he goes to him at midnight and says to his friend, lend me 3 loaves for a friend of mine, and maybe his friend's name's John, has come from a journey, and I have nothing set before him. He goes to the house, and he starts pounding on the door. Hey, open up. I got a friend just arrived. Can you help me out? I need some food. Now, today we have Whataburger. But in this day, they're, let me in. I need your help. It's a wonderful story. And when I thought of you and Goofy, it just made me giggle. And from inside, he answers and says, do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. That's how close to the door. And let's just say the guy inside's me. Hey, go away. I'm in bed, and I was asleep. And if you live in Texas, you might get shot. Get away from my door. I cannot get up and give you anything. I cannot or I will not. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. All right, Jared, here's some bread. Here's some deviled ham. Here's some sour cream and onion chips. Here's some Coke Zero. Now go away. So I ask you, and it will be given. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Now suppose one of your fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Would a good father go, oh, you can't have fish, how about snake today? Or if he has asked for an egg, eggs. He will not give him a scorpion, will he? Well, Jesus' message in this passage is that if a man will inconvenience himself to provide for the need of a friend, God will provide for the needs of his people. God is not inconvenienced to meet your needs. Isn't that awesome? Because the truth is we've all been inconvenienced meeting the needs of someone else. Here's the absolute truth. Can I just say this? 99% of the time, helping someone out is inconvenient, right? Yeah, Jimmy, that's right. I'm never just sitting around going, hey, can I go cut down some trees? I mean, it is. But the beautiful thing is, like yesterday, I had the privilege of doing something, and the person goes, well, you don't have to do this. And my response is, if all I did in life was what I had to do, where would the joy be? Right? God is not put out to meet our needs because he loves us. Now, here again, the promise is not that we will receive everything that we ask for. God's promise to his children is a promise to meet our needs, not our wants. And he knows our needs better. Let me ask you this. Has anyone ever asked you for something that you do was not good for them? Let me give you a case in point. Christmas is just around the corner. Has your kiddo ever, any of you as kids, or I never got one. I didn't live in that kind of neighborhood. Had those little battery-operated cars. I think Barbie had them first. Anybody ever have one of those? Yeah? Jane, did you have one? Did you ever run over anybody with one? You did? Oh, you know you did. But have you ever seen the videos? Right here? You had one of those cars? What do you run over?
Everything.
Now, you know what's funny is when you drive that little car, and in your little mind, you know what you want? I want a big car. Now, in his little mind, in that little car, he goes, look at me. I am killing this. He thinks, hey, Mom and Dad, how about you give me the keys to that one? And you know what a right mom and dad goes? No. Do you know why? Because sometimes what we want and what we need aren't the same thing. Sometimes the most gracious thing, the most loving thing, the most kind thing we can do for someone is to say, no. No. And that is based on the fact, whether we feel it or not, that God knows better than us. Have you ever asked God for something and it didn't come your way? Now, I got two options at this point. Be spoiled child and think I know better than God, or go, well, God, okay. Now, the second choice is not easy. I'm not going to lie to you. But God knows better, amen? Let's say that together, shall we? God knows better. Let's say it together. God knows better. He really does. Now, we may not think it sometimes. We may not feel it sometimes. But the fact is God knows better. Both of these passages encourage us to pray and to keep praying. There's nothing wrong. There's your answer. To repeatedly asking God for something. There's nothing wrong with it. With this. As long as what you're praying for is within the will of God. Now listen. There are some things in our lives that are clearly spelled out, whether they are the will of God or not the will of God. And you don't need to bother praying about that. Now there are other things. But if you are praying for something and you absolutely know it is outside the will of God, you are wasting your time, honey. Just saying. As long as we are praying within the parameters of God's will. Now, I know what you're saying. I can hear it in your head. Well, how do you know if it's God's will? Well, you might keep praying. That's the good thing. How about this? You might dig into God's word. That's a better thing. And you might seek wise counsel. Find someone and go, hey, what do you think about this? It's a good thing. So, we should pray. We should continue to pray so long as, James tells us, you ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. so that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Now, I'm about to say something right now, and if you hate me, then okay. As we walk towards the holiday season, one of the things I hear people talk to me more about than almost in a lot of things is their finances. I pray that God would give me more money. Can I just say this out of love with me standing in the front of the firing line? Why would God give me more if I'm not being a good steward of what I've already got? I mean, parents, would you give your kids more if they're not taking care of what they got? I mean, when I was a teenager, my dad had this great big red Craftsman toolbox. Guys, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, stacked high and full. It was glorious. And Jimmy got banned from going in that red toolbox. You know why? Because I would find the tool, I would utilize the tool, and you know what would happen with the tool? Well, we don't even still know. It would have been absolutely foolish for my father to have given me a toolbox at that time in my life. You know why? I wasn't a good steward of what was available to me. It would have been a waste of resources. I'm a different man today. And my dad, watching by webcast right now, goes, amen. But my friends, I challenge us all. And I just went to money because that's the one I know all of us can be touched by. But let me ask you this. If you want more time in your life, if you want more energy in your body, listen, why would God give us more if we're not being the best stewards we can be with what we've already got? It's illogical. So when we pray, let's pray and ask God to help us be the best stewards with what we have. And it goes on in John, it says this, "This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know," let's say that together, "we know that we have the requests which we have asked for from him." Keep asking until God grants your request or removes the desire from your heart. Keep praying until he answers your prayer or he takes it from your heart. Sometimes God forces us to wait on an answer to our prayers in order to teach us patience and perseverance. You see, God doesn't work on the instant gratification plan. God doesn't have a problem with telling you, you can wait a minute. But he doesn't do it because he's mean. It's because he knows what's best. Because you see, you and I don't know what 5 minutes from now is, but God's already there. Amen? That's awesome. It just makes you feel good. Prayer is not only presenting requests to God, it's God's presenting his will to us in our hearts. Keep on asking, keep on knocking until God grants your request or convinces you that your request is not inside the will of God. I can't tell your story. I'm going to tell my story. In the summer of 1990, I got invited to go to Belize, Central America. I didn't even know where that was. And I prayed, and my bride was 6 months pregnant with our daughter. And you know, I climbed on a plane, and I flew to Belize. And this is a Mayan ruin in Guatemala that I actually climbed. And I wasn't really sure, quite honestly, why I was going. I'm still not quite sure how it all worked out that I found myself in the Belizean jungle. And just for your own entertainment, this is what I looked like. Come on, we can all laugh. Come on, look at that nerd. Does he not understand fanny pack goes in the back? Look at the Indiana Jones hat. My goodness. I spent 2 weeks in the Guatemalan Belizean jungle. And this kid was the last face I saw as I left that village in that cutout boat going down the San Ignacio River. His name's Juan. And you can do the math. He's a grown man. This is what I know, is that on that trip, for the first time in my spiritual life, I tasted Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witness, both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and his uttermost parts. And I didn't know what God was doing in my heart in that jungle that 2 weeks. I didn't even have the courage to know. I didn't even have the wisdom to know. But God cultivated the seeds that he planted in my heart deep in that jungle until in the year 2000, the Soviet Union fell apart and you begin to hear stories of how the gospel was spreading and growing in the old Soviet Union. And I thought to myself, oh, I would love to go to Moscow someday. And I remember when Campus Crusade for Christ called me. And the only way you get this phone call is that someone personally recommends you. And to this day, I don't know who that someone was. But they called me and they said, hey, we would like you to go and teach. We have three Bible institutes and we'd like you to go teach for us. And I go, well, okay, talk to me. Well, the first one's in Nicaragua. Okay. The second one is in Minsk, Belarus. I didn't even know where that was. And the third one is in, can you guess? Moscow. And I did what everyone does. Well, let me pray about it. And I hung up the phone and I walked across the hall to my pastor's office and I said, Pastor, how do I separate my heart's desire from what God may be leading me to do? He says, why would you feel like you have to do that? He said, could it be that God planted this in you for this day? And I stood there and I go, well, that's why you're called doctor. And I went back and I picked that phone up and I called him back and I said, the answer is yes. I didn't give you permission to laugh at this one. Now, what had happened is in that time frame, the Lord had opened doors for other projects overseas, and missions had been planted into my heart and into my family's heart, and we were torn. We had a decade of service at our church. And I was so torn between, do I stay or do we serve in missions? Part of my concern was I was just a coward because this I know and this I don't know. This I'm familiar with. This I'm unfamiliar with. And when I went to Moscow for that month, and my bride will testify to you, my singular prayer that entire month was, God, either take this out of me or give me the courage to say yes. Because it's killing me. Because you can't have two masters. And to the glory of the Lord, he answered that. We stepped out of everything we knew and we stepped into everything we didn't know. And I wouldn't take a day for that. And in the course of that, the Lord began to work in our hearts. And on the first Sunday of November, 13 years ago, I was privileged to come to this little church and do pulpit supply. Pulpit supply is when you go, hey, can you come preach for us for a few weeks? And I was really good the first 4 weeks, Jeff, because I had four in the box. And they go, hey, well, can't you just stay around maybe through December? And I'm like, well, okay, but I was out of sermons. And 6 months pass, and I pray. And I say, God, I'm scared because this I know and this I don't know. This and this. I don't think I'm worthy to be this. I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can live up to the men I've seen do this. And just so miraculously, both inside the fellowship and outside the fellowship, the Lord says, listen, this is what I want for you. And I remember the Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening. Kate, you remember, you were on the team when we met. And I said, for 6 months, we've said we just couldn't dream of being pastor here. But we make ourselves available. We'll trust God for the rest. And here we are. Now, see, if it weren't for the jungles of Belize, I wouldn't be standing here. If it wasn't for the cold of Moscow in January, I wouldn't be standing here today. If it wasn't for a six-month runway beginning that November, I wouldn't be standing here today. But I tell you this, that if you'll seek the Lord and be persistent and listen, you will see more, you will experience more, you will accomplish more, and you will endure more than your mind and your heart ever knew was possible. I never dreamt of this. All the way back in that Belizean jungle, it never crossed my mind. In the stark cold of Moscow, it never crossed my mind. But standing here today, I can't imagine my life without it. And this is also what I know. Spiritual poverty is often a personal choice. My challenge to you today is don't rob God and don't rob yourself. Pray and trust. Pray and seek. Pray and persevere. Pray and then do it. Do it. I can't tell you how terrified I was that Sunday night walking into that meeting, because I realized I was signing a contract that if they came back and they said, yes, we believe God's will is for you to be our pastor, I was committed. I was scared. Do you guys remember? And I said, I don't have another bag of tricks. This is the only bag I've got. I still don't have another bag of tricks. It must just be a big bag for 13 years. But this is my testimony to you. You know, there's 1,000 men who could pastor this church and probably better than me. There's 1,000 men who know more scripture. There's 1,000 men who know more than I do. There's 1,000 great men. But what I know is this, is I am the man God wanted. And the only one that could have foiled that was me. And I'm so thankful I didn't. I'm so thankful that my fear, my insecurity, my pride, all the things, I didn't rob myself of all that the 13 years had given me. And my word of testimony is this: don't rob yourself. God has more than you ever could imagine, because I've lived more than I ever could imagine. His depth, His width, His grace, His mercy, His strength, His provision is more, is just more. And it's not just for preachers. It's for all of us. We're all His children. So my call to you today is to pray and trust. Knock and trust. Pursue and trust. And then do it to the glory of the Lord. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we give You glory today. We thank You for the privilege of prayer. Lord, even when we don't understand it, Lord, even when we don't use it to its full potential, even when we become frustrated by it, Lord, we just thank You so much that the Creator and the Sustainer of all that is, Lord, cares to hear us, cares to spend time with us, Lord, even when so many in our world don't want to. Father, thank You so much for the privilege of prayer. Lord, help us, beginning with me, to use it more effectively for our relationship building with You, for our relationship building with ourselves, and for our relationship building with others. Lord, may You always be glorified as we seek, knock, and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you, guys. Invite our ushers.